Thank you, Donnie. What we had was a failure to communicate, absolutely right, but I think it was technology blame. So, I'd like to welcome you all in the name of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. This morning I'd like to go to Romans, the 8th chapter. I'd like to start in the 24th verse. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercessions for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. We know not what we pray for. You know, I find that everybody prays for people, which is important. Talked to Joel the other night, and we've travelled quite a bit together, and he was telling me that about Marlene, and I said to him, I didn't know that she was so sick, because I got an email that said that even if she had no treatments, that she would live between 6 months and a year. And he said the cancer hadn't even gone inside. It was still on her skin and stuff. But yet, the Lord takes people like that so that they don't suffer. And yet we ask that the Lord would lift them up. Sometimes it's just not His will to do that. And yet we fight and struggle for those things that we don't understand. The 27th verse, and he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. According to the will of God. Are we ready for that? You see, we want what we want. I'd like you to go to 1 Corinthians, the 3rd chapter. Know ye not that ye are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you? Does it dwell in you? And by how much measure? You know, it says in the 3rd chapter of John, and I'll just read it because I think it's important to understand this. 34th verse. For him who God hath sent speaketh the words of God, for God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. This is talking about Christ. If you had that Spirit unmeasured, how would you be? That you would understand what that will of God is. And you know how much of the maturity that he had, because in the sixth chapter of that same book, the 70th verse, and this, I'll give you a little bit of understanding here, that if God, in that first chapter of John, he said he created everything. Created Satan, created Judas, whom he walked right next to, and you know that he did understand that, because in the 70th verse, Jesus answered them, "Have not I chosen you 12, and one of you is a devil?" He already knew Judas's heart, and yet walked alongside him and didn't treat him any different. Could you have done that? Understanding that, when that Spirit is poured out upon us and helps us understand those things of God, the Spirit had already revealed this to him. It is hard to wrap our minds around that. If you knew someone was going to turn on you, how would you treat them? How would you treat them? It's a valid question. You can't tell me that you wouldn't treat him differently. But yet he wants us to be those kind of creatures. I want you to go to page 371 in the Book of Mormon. Alma, the 12th chapter. 112th through 113th. And this is Ammon. And he's talking to King Lamoni. Ammon said unto him, "I am a man, and man in the beginning was created after the image of God. And I am called by the Holy Spirit to teach these things unto this people, that they may be brought to a knowledge of that which is just and true. And a portion of that Spirit dwelleth in me, which giveth me knowledge and also power according to my faith and desires which are in God." After this image, after his image, and a portion of that Spirit dwelleth within him, which gave him the knowledge and also power according to his faith and desires which were in God. You see, with that power and knowledge comes great responsibility. And you understand why that is not given to us, or given to very few. Let's go to page 578. This is Helaman, the 3rd chapter. "And now, because thou hast done this with such unwaveringness, behold, I will bless thee forever, and I will make thee mighty in word and in deed, in faith and works, yea, even that all things shall be done unto thee according to thy word. For thou shalt not ask that which is contrary to my will. Behold, thou art Nephi, and I am God. Behold, I declare it unto thee in the presence of mine angels, that ye shall have power over this people, and shall smite the earth with famine, and with pestilence and with destruction according to the wickedness of this people. Behold, I give unto you power that whatsoever ye shall seal on earth shall be sealed in heaven, and whatsoever ye shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. And thus shall ye have power among this people. Great responsibility. Now, if you read down through the... Well, we may as well. We've got plenty of time. And thus, if we shall say unto the temple, it shall be rent in twain, it shall be done. And if ye shall say unto this mountain, be thou cast down, and becometh smooth, it shall be done. And if ye shall say in this mountain... And behold, if ye shall say, God shall smite this people, and it shall come to pass. And now, behold, I command you that ye shall go and declare unto this people that thus saith the Lord God, who is almighty, except ye repent, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. For behold, now it came to pass that when the Lord had spoken these words unto Nephi, he did stop and did not go into his house, his own house, but did return unto the multitude who were scattered about upon the face of the land, and began to declare unto them the words of the Lord, which had been spoken unto him concerning their destruction, if they did not repent. Now behold, notwithstanding that great miracle which Nephi had done in telling them concerning the death of the chief judge, they did harden their hearts and did not hearken unto the word of the Lord. Therefore Nephi did declare unto them the words of the Lord, saying, except ye repent, thus saith the Lord, ye shall be smitten even unto destruction. And it came to pass that when Nephi had declared unto them the words, behold, they did still harden their hearts, and would not hearken unto his words. Therefore they did revile against him, and did seek to lay their hands upon him, that they might cast him into prison. But behold, the power of God was with him, and they could not take him to cast him into prison, for he was taken by the Spirit and conveyed away out of their midst of them. And it came to pass that thus he did go forth in the Spirit from multitude to multitude, declaring the word of God, even until he had declared it unto them all, or set forth among all the people. And it came to pass that they would not hearken unto his words, and there began to be contentions, insomuch that they were divided against themselves and began to slay one another with the sword. And thus ended the 71st year of the reign of judges over the people of Nephi. Can you imagine having that kind of power? Can you imagine that? That like Philip, when he baptized the eunuch. So it wasn't something that wasn't just happened once. It's how we fashion our lives. Fascinates me that these examples, that we don't want to be like that. Fascinates me. It's not important to us. Let's go to 608, page 608, the Book of Mormon. Second book of 3rd Nephi, or second chapter of 3rd Nephi. I'm going to start in the 23rd verse. Now the chiefest among all the chief captains and the great commander of all the armies of the Nephites was appointed, and his name was Gidgigono. Now it was a custom among the Nephites to appoint for their chief captain, save it were in the times of wickedness, someone that had the spirit of revelation and also prophecy. Why would you have that? Why would you have that? You see, do we want this? Do we want that Spirit of God to be upon us? I sometimes wonder, because if you knew what was going to happen, and what this was these people came and said, well, let's go and attack these guys where they are. He said, no, you're going to fail. So if you knew you were going to fail, why would you do it? You see, we're supposed to be led by that Spirit. Our meetings were conducted by the Spirit. We know that, right? Are they? I sometimes wonder. I sometimes wonder whether it's not traditions that we do things. Oh, we've always done it that way. You see, because if we don't adhere to that Spirit, see, life is just a series of random events, right? Then that takes the onus off of us. And God. See, I had nothing to do with that accident. It just happened. You see, without that Spirit of God, we react. We're not proactive. We're not interested in how God's plan affects us and the people around us, are we? I'm going to tell you a very personal story. And maybe it'll help you understand. May not have much meaning to you, but it certainly made me look at things differently. When we moved back here, there was another couple that had moved back here at the same time for the church that we belonged to. And we became very close. We knew each other out west, but we didn't have that relationship that we did when we moved out here. And we became truly good friends. I really loved these people. They were dear to our family. Not only as friends, but also as brothers and sisters. This lady ended up having cancer. And they were down in Arizona at the time. And I wanted this lady to live. It was wintertime, and I usually don't work in the wintertime, which is okay with me. And that's where they always went for winter. And so I didn't have a job. I had two little boys, and money gets kind of tight in the wintertime. I could have asked the church to pay for my ticket down there to go and see her, but I didn't. And the reason why I didn't, I wanted to make a sacrifice, that my sacrifice would be pleasing unto God. I really didn't understand what I was asking, but I, in my selfishness, I wanted her to live. But it wasn't the will of God. It wasn't the will of God. You see, is it to live forever in this clay form? It is not. It is not. And yet we struggle for every breath that God lends us. You see, I learned a very valuable lesson. It took me a long time, but I've learned a very valuable lesson. It wasn't about the sacrifice. It was about knowing the will of God. You see, we're selfish. God gives us lessons all through our lives. And if you had that spirit unmeasured, would you use it correctly? Think about Lazarus. You know, God knew what was going on. Christ knew what was going on. And yet he waited a couple days. The guy was starting to smell. But he wanted them to understand something. And they still didn't get it until after he had died. After he was resurrected and he poured out that spirit upon him. You see, there would be people in our lives. My father would be one of them. There, you know, you could name a few people that you'd still want to be around. It's not the purpose. It's not their purpose. And I know every one of you would have someone that you would name. There's thousands of reasons why we would want them there. You see, God shows us through the Word of God not only who He is, but what He is, why He does things, and yet we question Him, and yet we're not satisfied with the answers. I want you to go to page 763, and I had kind of alluded to it a little bit before. And this is in Moroni. The ninth verse of the sixth chapter, and it says this: "And their meetings were conducted by the church after the manner of the workings of the Spirit and by the power of the Holy Ghost. For as the power of the Holy Ghost led them, whether to preach or exhort or to pray or to supplicate or to sing, even so it was done." We can't seem to do that. We've got a schedule. We've got a way of doing things. We are steeped in traditions. And the time is coming very quickly that this very scripture is going to mean a lot to you. Are you praying for to know the will of God? Or are you praying for what you think you need? I find the further that I go, I see the greater distance I have to go. And I see that I am remotely not equipped. To handle what is coming. I want you to go to, and this is one of my favorite chapters, is in Galatians, the first chapter. Tenth verse. "For do I now persuade men or God, or do I seek to please men? For if I yet pleased men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelations of Jesus Christ. For ye have heard of my conversion in times past, in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. And profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." I want to stop there for a second. The traditions of his fathers. Do you think that Paul was any less zealous after he was blinded on the way to Damascus? I don't think so. You see, what God did was he changed his focus. He made him look at something different. And it was only through the Spirit. Look. Let's go to, hold on, let me see if I can find it real quick. When he was blinded on the way to Damascus, let's go to the 26th chapter of Acts, and I'm going to read here. Halfway down in the 14th verse, and it says, "Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he said, I am Jesus whom thou persecutest. But rise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen, and of those things in the which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom now I send thee." to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sin and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. It's like that first chapter of Galatians. He already told him what he was going to have to do, where he was going. You see, when it's not done right, I'll give you the example of, and it's in Acts 19. Verse. And then certain of the vagabond Jews exorcists took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, we adjure you by Jesus whom Paul preacheth. Meaning they didn't really know what they were doing. And there were seven sons of one Sceva, a Jew and a chief of the priests, which did so. So this guy, he was a priest, he was a minister. And the evil spirit answered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? And the man in whom the evil spirit was leapt on them and overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. You don't have God on your side when you're doing these things. I'm telling you, you don't understand these things. I have a very dear brother of mine who is a minister in this church. And he told me one day, said his nephew seen this thing that was attached to him, and he had been wounded. Seen him as he came up the drive. You see, I don't think we understand the spiritual side of things. We're not interested in knowing that those things are around us, that without that hedge that God puts around us, there's not many that can survive. And it is real. You see, I find that the condition of my soul is dependent upon my God. My spiritual well-being is how, and I want you to go, and this will be my last scripture. I want you to go to page 223 in the Book of Mormon. And it's the last three verses of chapter 2. And I'm going to start in verse 48. Now, and finally, I cannot tell you all the things whereby ye may commit sin, for there are diverse ways and means, even so many that I cannot number them. But this much I can tell you, that if you do not watch yourselves and your thoughts and your words and your deeds and observe to keep the commandments of God and continue in faith of what ye have heard concerning the coming of our Lord even unto the ends of your lives, ye must perish. And now, O man, remember and perish not. I pray that the Lord's Spirit would rest upon you in great power, and that it might find place in your hearts to guide you throughout the day and throughout the days ahead. I stand before you an unworthy servant, and I pray that my God would forgive me for the many things that I do, because each and every one of us needs those prayers for one another, but we need to mature ourselves as far as how we deal with one another, how we love one another, and how we desire to serve our God, that we might have that fortitude, that zealous spirit to be like Paul, that we might desire to be his people, that peculiar people, zealous of good works. Thank you very much.